Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Premier League season preview, a new series where myself and Andrew Pollard look ahead to the upcoming season and judge where we think teams are going to finish. We've done Brighton and Burnley. Go and check that out right now on the channel, as well as Arsenal and Aston Villa. And today, two teams with very different outlooks ahead of next season, Chelsea and Crystal Palace. It's like the Chelsea of old, Andrew Pollard. Roman Abramovich throwing money left, right and centre. Does this mean we can consider Chelsea title contenders for this season?
I think it does, yeah. I think they... Well, I think if they're not, then I think Frank Lampard will probably be out of a job by Christmas. But I think that, yeah, with the money that they're spending, and well, the money they've spent so far and the money that they're seemingly still going to be spending over the next week or two, I think that they have to be title contenders. They have to be considered title contenders because of the quality of players they brought in. But I think the pressure is on Frank Lampard because, yeah, now if you're spending that money, you have to be a title contender.
Who do you think is the biggest transfer for them? Because they've been, you know, you've got Ziyech, Kai Havertz. The way we're recording these, this transfer may have been officially confirmed, we're not sure. But I think everyone would agree that Timo Werner really made people sit up and take notice that, that Chelsea are a side to be reckoned with next season.
Yeah, that was the first one to be confirmed, really. That was, by all intents and purposes, it looked like he was on his way to Liverpool. And so for... which I think Liverpool, I'm not sure if they were champions elect by then, or he may actually have won the title at that point. So for him to all of a sudden go to Chelsea instead, then it's that was a sign of intent from Chelsea and a show of ambition. So I think, yeah, he's the big one that jumps out. Just scored a ridiculous amount of goals in recent seasons for RB Leipzig. And that was 47 million. Me, the one I'm looking forward to the most is Hakim Ziyech because just the guy has a propensity for just scoring ridiculous screamers. And yeah, as my Twitter handle says, I love a cultured left peg. And that fella has a beautiful left foot. Kai Havertz, that's one that is not official as we're recording this, but by the time the video goes out, it probably will be official. And that's, 80 million, I think, by the time it's all said and done with that. And that's a massive signing. Malang Sarr on the free transfer, Thiago Silva on the free transfer, two centre-halves on very different ends of the spectrum where Malang Sarr's 21, kind of learning his trade, and you've got Thiago Silva about to turn 36 and bringing that experience to it. But I think, yeah, I think Timo Werner's the big one, but I also think that Thiago Silva for me is... that's a really important signing just because it's a Chelsea team that's conceded a lot of goals. And I think him and his experience, his leadership, and yeah, okay, he's not played in the Premier League before, but I think it could be one of those, it could prove out to be a really inspired signing, I think.
What do you reckon the situation is with Kepa right now? Because it feels like one day you hear, it's all fine, it's all sorted. And then the next they are linked with a whole host of either up and coming or already established world-class goalkeepers. He is a character, let's say.
Yes, very much so, a character. But yeah, it's like whether it's Jan Oblak, whether it's Nick Pope, whether it's Dean Henderson, it seems like any Andre Onana at Ajax, anyone and everyone who's a half-decent goalkeeper is being linked as a replacement for Kepa. And I think, yeah, that's still the one problem position for me at Chelsea. I don't know how much Roman's prepared to spend this transfer window, but I think if they can get a new goalkeeper in, and that's, to me, that's them done for the season. They don't need any more additions. They've got a great squad to work with. And look at this jarring stat that they conceded 54 league goals last season, Chelsea. Chelsea came fourth on goal difference behind Manchester United. And that's easily more than anybody in the top half of the division. You'd look at Liverpool conceded 33, Man City conceded 35, Man United 36, Leicester 41. And then you've got Chelsea in fourth place with 54 goals conceded. And I mean, some of it's. I don't blame it all on Kepa, but like Antonio Rudiger, when he's played, has looked. I rate him as a player. I think he's got a lot to bring to a side, but he didn't have a great season. Christensen was in and out with injuries. Kurt Zouma could be a bit erratic. Azpilicueta playing as centre back at times, sometimes at right back, and I think as well switching between the three at the back to a flat back four didn't really help with the continuity, I think. But yeah, to me, I think, like I said, Thiago Silva brings a lot of stability to that and a lot of leadership and a lot of experience. But I think, yeah, behind that, you need, I think they need a new goalkeeper. But maybe it's something like Thiago Silva could bring the best out of Kepa by guiding him through games.
Yeah, I agree. I think it might be the difference. I think people have sort of overlooked the Thiago Silva signing. I was pushing for him to go to somewhere like Arsenal to do the same sort of role. Ben Chilwell as well. We haven't mentioned him. I think he's a great signing. Yeah. Obviously, mad money. It is. The going rate for wing-backs is about 50 million, it seems. I was going to do a sort of an addition of how much money they've spent this summer, and then I realised with this Havertz deal potentially going through and it always being a slightly up in the air, it'd be utterly pointless. But they've thrown a lot of money at their problems that you've pointed out. Is that going to solve it, do you reckon? I think people like Chilwell are really savvy signings, I have to say, for a Frank Lampard.
Yeah, I think with Lampard, he wants to play four at the back. And I feel a lot last season where he was playing a three at the back to, accommodate his centre-halves that weren't very good, so let's play three of them. And also to fit in Marcus Alonso, who is great going forward as a left wing-back, but if you play him in a four as a left-back, his defensive side of the game isn't that great. So I think Chilwell allows Lampard to comfortably play with a back four like he wants to. I think he's a great solution there, that left side. He looks like he's probably going to be England's left-back for the next, 8, 9, 10 years could be. So I think that's good. And then you look at who might be going out. I know Emerson has been linked with Inter Milan, who came in for Alonso a lot last season. Zappa Costa just seems to be in limbo, and most people forget he's even there.
So
he'll probably be off. And then I think there'll probably be movement with one of their centre backs before the end of before the transfer window closes, whether it's Kurt Zouma, whether it's Christensen, whether it's Rudiger. I think one of those we'll be heading for the exit door. And also you've got Ethan Ampadu as a Welshman. I like to keep an eye on him, who's back from his loan at RB Leipzig. And he's still only 19, but maybe he starts to get a game or two, whether that's as a holding midfielder or as a centre-half.
We did a whole episode about Chelsea possibly making huge mistakes, or that was maybe a slightly hyperbolic title. But, the pressure being on Frank Lampard, because he's got to combine this mix of all the money that's been spent and the expectation that comes with that with this excellent youth system that was showcased last season, and now the expectation that comes with finishing in the Champions League places and getting the results that they did. How do you feel that's going to change the way Chelsea play next season?
Yeah, I think the youth situation, the younger players, that's going to be a tricky one to balance, because I was kind of penciling down my Chelsea 11 to start the season with. And Mason Mount doesn't get in that side for me right now. Tammy Abraham doesn't get in that team for me right now. And they're two of the bright shining lights from last season, who, when given a chance, ran with the ball. Reece James as well, at right back, came in and looked brilliant at times. And whether he gets as many games, who knows? I don't know. Because if you're looking at the midfield particularly, and you'd have, say, Kante, Kovacic and Kai Havertz, that to me, Mason Mount doesn't get in that side. And again, up front, you'd have Pulisic, Hakim Ziyech, and then Timo Werner. So Tammy Abraham misses out, as does Olivier Giroud. But he's handsome enough for it to... Yeah, what a handsome man. God damn him.
The most handsome man in football, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Olivier Giroud. My favourite thing, very quickly, I should have mentioned this in our Villa one, is some Villa friends of mine are like, well, if Tammy Abraham's not going to get in the Chelsea side, why don't you just come back to Villa? Like, I think that's a long, long shot, boys.
I mean, it'd be great for Villa, and it guaranteed Tammy game time ahead of the Euros next season. Yeah. So maybe. There's going to be pressure on Lampard to... I mean, if Mason Mount isn't playing every other game, Chelsea fans are going to be, well, hold on, because everybody loves Mason Mount. He's a fantastic footballer. So there's going to be pressure on Lampard to work these players into his side, to work Tammy Abraham, to work Reece James in. Although, I don't know, I wouldn't be surprised if Reece James is the starting right back. But yeah, there's pressure on him, definitely. Billy Gilmore, who came in towards the end of the season and looked brilliant in midfield. I thought he looked fantastic. But you've got these young players now where Lampard he's going to have the pressure to give them enough game time. But then also you've got these superstars that have come in and they have to play because of the price tag. And then you spent all this money, so you've got the pressure of having to contend and being or be in contention for the league title. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of pressure on Frank Lampard now. Maybe last season there was that pressure was off to an extent because he had the transfer ban and it was Frank Lampard, it's Chelsea legend. And I think if Roman would have sat Lampard by Christmas, say, then I think the Chelsea fans would have turned on Roman Abramovich to an extent. So, yeah, but now it's different. Now he's had that one season. He's had that bedding in season. He hasn't got the excuse of being having a transfer ban on him now. So, yeah. Right, now this is kind of, how to say the phrase? Put on your big boy pants sort of thing now for Frank Lampard. This is where it gets serious.
I'll openly admit I massively underestimated Chelsea last season. I think I put them about sixth or something. They highs and lows of the finish to this season saw them, you know, get a very important result against Wolves on the final day to secure that Champions League spot. But then, of course, lose the FA Cup final to Arsenal, along with about four players to injury, it seems. Gun to your head, where do you see them finishing? And do you see them getting any silverware, cups, etc.?
A little bit like the Arsenal video where we did a couple of days ago about how, like Arsenal, I always fancy Chelsea to have a bit of a cup run. The teams always historically do well in the cups. So I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up with an FA Cup or a League Cup. When you look at it, the league, to me right now, based on their squad and their signings, and even with Kepa, I mean, he's not that much of a handicap, to be fair, but even with Kepa, I think third place would be realistic for them. But I think that it can't be that the gap between the top two and third place can't be the same as what it was last season. I think it has to be closer for Chelsea. Lampard, that Chelsea side has to be closer. I think they have to be in the title hunt realistically. It's all well and good coming third, but if you come in third and you miss that in the league by, I don't know, 15, 16, 18 points, I don't think that's good enough for them with the money they've spent. They have to be in the race, at least going into the final month of the season or two.
Yeah, it's between them and Man United for me for third place. Yeah. And I think Chelsea may just edge it. It all depends on the transfer activity that Man United still can do in these next few days and weeks, of course.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
From one end of the table to the other, Crystal Palace fans aren't going to like me saying this, but they are favourites for relegation in my book.
Wow, the Adam Wilborn book says Palace are going down. Wow, tough, man. 14th last season, and I think Roy Hodgson did very well to get that squad to 14th. Defensively, solid, the best defence in the bottom half of the Premier League. But the goals for was, 31 goals, I think, they scored in 38 league games, which is horrendous. They cannot do that again and not get relegated. The only team that scored less than them in the league were Norwich, who finished rock bottom and only scored, I think it was 26 goals. So Palace...
And they were about the first 3 weeks of the season, it felt like.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, a chunk of them were against Man City, of all teams. the bonkers nature of the Premier League. But yeah, they brought in Abrici Eze off QPR, which I think that's a really intriguing signing for me. He's an exciting player who's done it in the Championship, and now it's a case of, right, let's see what you can do in the Premier League. But I really fear for Palace this season. And then there's obviously the big question is whether Wilfried Zaha stays or goes. And if he does, I don't know, it's kind of, you look at it and think, well, if Zaha goes, they're knackered. But you look at the figures last year in terms of the assists and the goals from Zaha, and he didn't make that much of a difference in that. I know, obviously, he wins a lot of free kicks, or wins a lot of fouls, and he's always in and around anything positive that Palace have done for the last few seasons. But, yeah, I don't know. I just think it's a Palace side that's another year older with still Christian Benteke up front. And it's, yeah, I think this season, if they don't get a goal scoring, I think Palace will very much be in the conversation when it comes to the drop.
Yeah, the Zaha situation is intriguing in terms of the fact that it never really goes away, whether the season's happening or it's not. He's always in the papers, or, you know, the stories about him desperate to leave. And, you know, he puts himself in the shop window. I think it's fair to say that during the season, and then nothing happens. It's surreal. And the closer you get to the start of the season, the more panicky I get as a Palace fan, because it's not like they've gone, right, well, that's dealt with. Open the papers every day and see him linked to clubs and linked to the exit door. And if it's going to happen, it almost needs to happen now, because otherwise you've got days before the start of the season without the focal point, the integral player in your side.
Yeah, exactly. You need to find those replacements. I mean, I'm sure Eze, when he's come in, has been viewed by some as somewhat of a Zaha replacement. And I'm sure Roy Hodgson and the Palace board have replacements in mind if and when Zaha does go, and also where else they could spend that money on the squad. But it's one of those where it seems like he plays well in the lead up to every transfer window. And then he has like a few weeks afterwards where you could tell he's like, I didn't get that move. Or he'll come out publicly. I think it was the beginning of this last season or the January transfer window where he came out and just kind of said, yeah, I want to play for Arsenal. And then that wasn't happening. So then it was like, well, I might go to Everton instead. It's like, dude, just if you want to go that badly, it just seems like he's desperate to go now.
Who was it on the old transfer deadline day who drove to another club?
Oh, Peter Odemwingie.
That's the one.
Drove to, I think it was QPR. From Portsmouth, and just kind of was out there like, yeah, I'm going to go here. It's like, don't think you are, mate. Doesn't quite work like that. I admire your spirit. And maybe that's what Wilf needs to do. Just drive to another training ground.
We aren't suggesting that, Palace fans, by the way.
No. But yeah, I think to me, he's turning 28 in November. And I think that if he's going to go, then to me, it now seems like the time. Roy Hodgson, the comments he said recently seem very much like, okay, right, we've almost like Palace have kind of had enough of it, as in like, look, just if you want to go, but we have our price for you, which is, yeah, that the club has to do that. They can't be undersold on it. But yeah, Hodgson, whereas before he's talked about how he wants to keep Wilf and all this, and now it's more of a, well, yeah, he's made his stance clear, and seemingly let's just get it sorted. But where does he go? I don't know. There's talk of maybe Dortmund as a replacement for Sancho is one option I've heard. Everton, Arsenal, he's linked seemingly with different teams every single week, Wilfried Zaha.
Better get in that Everton side, the way they get signed.
Well, yeah. I did see that, you know, that there's going to be room, because I heard that Theo Walcott might be offered to Southampton. That was what I read this morning. Yeah, which, the Everton fans I know are desperate to get rid of Theo. And it will be as well, to be fair. So they might have room on the wings. If the fans get their way.
One final question about Palace.
Yeah.
Do you think the ongoing global bastard we can't mention because of if we do or get demonetized, do you think that has affected arguably them more than other sides? Because I always sense, I never was lucky enough to go to Sellers Park, and I do want to do that, but I always sense a real atmosphere there, a real, you know, you'd look at that pocket, the corner of fans, and I'd get a real sense of ultras, is the way I want to put it, having been lucky enough to go to the San Siro a few years ago. Do you think that arguably has maybe affected them as well, or am I overreaching with this?
I've been there once many, many moons ago for an FA Cup game with Wrexham when Wimbledon were playing there. But there was a bizarre goal that Wimbledon scored in the last minute off a corner, but the ref blew the whistle while the ball was in the air of the corner. Oh. Made no sense, but as a Wrexham fan, it's like, yeah, we'll take that. That's cool. But yeah, Selhurst Park, it does seem almost like one of those grounds where it's compact, it's tight, it's a little bit of a fortress. Maybe Palace were affected by that because, yeah, to me, they almost stumbled to the finish of the Premier League season. I know it was the most unique of times for every team in pretty much in world football. So you can't really blame them for that. But yeah, maybe that's they're missing that side of things. I mean, people talked about Bramall Lane with Sheffield United, whether how much that was going to affect them once the restart happened, because that crowd is so pivotal to getting those players going. Obviously, the players get going themselves, but when you've got such a passionate fan base behind you. Sheffield United had a little wobble after the restart, but then they got back into the rhythm and they were playing some great football again. But maybe that is something with Palace. I don't know, I can't look at the Palace team and just not come back to goals with Christian Benteke, 2 goals last season, in all competitions, that is, as well. Zaha got 4 in all competitions. And then you got Joe Nayu on 9, who had an all right season. But even Luka Milovic, I think he got 3 last season, which the year before that he got 12. So there isn't goals in this team. And that's what I really worry about with Palace. And you're looking at who their kind of main men are now. And if Zaha goes, and you're thinking, well, Gary Cahill had a great year for them, but he's 34. Patrick Van Aanholt, who I still think of as this young, quick, nippy fullback, which he is still very quick and nippy, but he's 30 now. So it's like...
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I know. I just think that they need something, Palace, because they've got great fans. They've got a great manager there. It's a great club, Crystal Palace, historically. And they're a side that I like to see doing well. Just as somebody remembers the John Soloco, Chris Armstrong sort of days. The early 90s.
God world.
We are. Chris Armstrong, Wrexham legend almost. 2 stints of those back in the day. I'd like to see Palace doing well. I really, really fear for them this season. And you look at, I've seen if there's anybody that they may have been linked with. And it's like, well, Conor Gallagher from Chelsea, 20-year-old midfielder, maybe on loan for the year. And other than that, it's like they were trying to get Ryan Fraser, but he's seemingly Newcastle-bound. Yeah. That worked out well for him, that. As in, I'm not going to play for Bournemouth. I'm going to see up my contract, and I'm going to get this really big move. And it's like, well, the Spurs don't want you anymore. Arsenal aren't interested anymore. And now it's a toss-up between Crystal Palace and Newcastle. Well done there, mate. Nice one. I thought that was such a stupid decision not to play football, but I can see where it's coming from. Anyway, Palace, very, very worried for him next season.
Yeah, I think that the 3 key things to keep Palace up next season are sign more players who can score goals, keep Wilfried Zaha, and probably bribe me, because whenever I took Milivojevic out of my fantasy football team, he'd always score. So, you know, if you need help, you know where I am, at Adam Wilborn on Twitter. Where can people get you on Twitter, Andrew Pollard?
They can get me at Cultured Left Peg on the Twitter.
You can get us all and continue this conversation at What Culture FC. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Football, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily football podcasts. We're going to continue doing this with all the Premier League clubs. We'd love to know your thoughts, especially if you're a fan of the sides we haven't covered quite yet. We'll try and get some other points of view on this. But for now, this has been the Premier League season preview for Chelsea and Crystal Palace. My thanks to Andrew Pollard. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.